Now, if you have a copy of God's Word with you, I'd ask that you would turn with me to the Gospel of John. Now, as we are progressing through John's Gospel, we have gone through the prologue. We have heard the testimony or the witness of John the Baptist. We have beheld Christ's first sign at the wedding, as we kind of looked at a series here that will now be presented from chapters 2 through to chapter 4, to the end of chapter 4, end of chapter 6 rather, titled All Things New. We go from a congregation or a family coming together at a wedding. We see Jesus going up to Jerusalem in verse 13 through 25 on the day of Passover, or at the feast of Passover, again, where we are brought together with many crowds of people. And as John finishes off chapter 2, he tells us that many were believing in the name of Jesus when they saw his signs, which he was doing. But Jesus was not entrusting himself to them, for he knew all men, and because he had no need of anyone to bear witness concerning men, for he himself knew what was in man. And we looked at this last week, that for men or for a church to not continually testify to the saving work of Jesus Christ is actually to rely on their own business, on their own efforts, on their own doings. And so we do not need to partner, or Christ has no need to partner with us, rather, in proclaiming the good news of salvation. And now when we look at chapters 3 and 4 and 5, we kind of go from a wedding and a festival to individual people. Individual people, as what we'll see here in our text this morning from chapter 3, verses 1 through 15, a conversation with a very interesting man by the name of Nicodemus. Now, the name Nicodemus is only mentioned in John's Gospel. He's not mentioned in Matthew, Mark, or Luke. And even when we consider the story of Nicodemus, the Apostle John records him three times in his Gospel, here in chapter 3, another time in chapter 7, and finally in chapter 19. And when we come to a decisive or a conclusive assumption of who Nicodemus is, we in our minds picture him as an elderly fellow who is genuinely concerned about the teachings of Christ. If we look at verses 1 through 15, right, we almost kind of get the father of Jesus, Joseph, depiction, where he didn't want to bring reproach upon Christ, and so he comes to visit him by night. And we say that this is with good intentions because of what he does at the burial of Jesus Christ, found in chapter 19, where he spends an overwhelmingly amount of money in spices and perfume to help bury Jesus Christ. But yet when we first get a glimpse of the person of Nicodemus, we see a different person, and we will come to an understanding of who this Nicodemus is by the exposition of God's Word, and not just merely with a presuppositional understanding, right? When we consider a presuppositional understanding, there are things that we have maybe assumed about the person and character of Nicodemus, maybe from other people talking, maybe from watching a movie, maybe from other sources of information, and we readily want to attach it to Nicodemus before we even get to see why John is writing about such a man. And as we will come to what our sermon title would be, it particularly applies to the person of Nicodemus. But even as we think about the person of Nicodemus, we should see ourselves in this situation as well. That when Christ came, born of the flesh, the Word was made flesh, came in His incarnation to reveal the Heavenly Father to us, as what John's prologue finishes off. Christ is explaining the Word.